8:34 the time, 26 minutes before 9 o'clock on a Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. And welcome to the program this morning. As you know, October is, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we are really, really fortunate this morning that we have somebody awesome, a breast cancer survivor on. She didn't let it get her down. She chose to face it straight up with the same energy and sense of humor that led her to write a New York Times best-selling parenting book titled, You Are an Effing Awesome Mom, where she breaks down the reasons why women are struggling in new motherhood and puts into words feelings that they might not have been understanding at the time. She's a local from Laguna Beach, a cancer survivor, and we welcome to the program this morning, Leslie Bruce. Welcome to the program, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Delighted that you're here. Delighted that you're here. And I want to, throughout this conversation, I want to dive deep into the diagnosis and treatment. But I think the first question out of the gate is, are you an awesome effing mom?
I think we all are, right? I think all women who try their best in motherhood, who are giving it, you know, their all, who wake up every day with the intention of, you know, doing good by their kids, are effing awesome moms.
Agreed.
So I fall under that category.
It's a universal mom thing. Yes, I would agree with you there. I want to talk a little bit about the diagnosis of your breast cancer. And first of all, what alerted you to the cancer? Were you not feeling well? Was it a self-examination? You felt a lump?
It was by pure accident, which is scary, right? Because if I hadn't had that accident, I wouldn't have figured it out. I felt it while I was sleeping, actually. It became part of my dream. I felt a small lump. And when I woke up, the lump was still there. And I remember I turned to my husband and I said, you know, oh my God, this is cancer. And he said, you're 38, you're crazy, back to bed. And fortunately, I had a doctor who believed in having women under 40 do mammograms. So within the course of 2 weeks from that point, I was screened, biopsied, MRI'd, poked, prodded, and diagnosed. It all moved very quickly.
Okay. And if you would, for a moment, just take us to the moment that you heard the words, it's cancer, and the things that went through your mind at that moment.
Sure. I will tell you, it was a year ago this past Saturday, and it was my daughter's 6th birthday. And I was sitting in a plastic chair in a doctor's office, and my husband was fortunately able to come in with me because it was the height of the pandemic, and most appointments and surgeries I had to do by myself. But my husband was able to be with me, and you fall apart. You never think that cancer is going to happen to you, especially being 38, being reasonably young, having small children, being healthy. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be a breast cancer patient at 38 years old.
Was there an hour, a day, a couple of days of disbelief and not really believing that it was actually cancer? Or was it immediate? I've got it. I've got to take care of it.
You know, immediate, because I have 2 small kids and I don't have the choice of dying, to be honest with you. I didn't have that as an option. So for me, it was moving quickly, getting it out of my body. There was nothing more important to me than fighting this head on for my family. And sure, they're shocked, right? I went to the car and I screamed. It's something you only see in movies. But after I let myself feel sorry for myself for a bit, I decided that the only thing I could control was my treatment.
And take us through those first few months. How did things evolve? At the time, you're a working writer and a mom, and now you've got cancer. So take us through those first few months.
Within about 2 weeks, I was diagnosed and had started plans for treatment. One of my girlfriends had called me and said, I really think that you should talk to the team at City of Hope. She had a connection with City of Hope, and specifically the Women's Health Center. And from the moment that I met with City of Hope, which was 2 days after Halloween, so November 2nd, I started my treatment. I was scheduled for my first surgery within a few weeks, a second surgery 2 weeks after that. And then a month after that, I started 8 rounds of dense-dose chemotherapy here at City of Hope, Newport Beach. And then I rolled right into 25 days of intense radiation at the City of Hope satellite in at St. Joseph's in Orange. Right. And that ended this past June. It was an intense 250 days.
Wow. Now, I should mention to the audience that you initially went to the City of Hope in Fashion Island. There are 4 City of Hope locations here in Orange County. And what you received essentially was highly specialized cancer care. The confidence, what difference does the confidence in your medical staff have in your progression through this?
Everything. My confidence in it meant everything to me. My whole, as you mentioned, my whole team was City of Hope. Right. I did my surgeries at the Duarte campus, and I'm so excited that City of Hope is expanding and continues to expand for people in Orange County because it is so critical. You know, for me, when you have cancer, you go to a cancer hospital. You go to a hospital where all the resources and research are focused on beating cancer. That's their thing. They're in the business of kicking cancer's butt, and so am I, right? That's what I needed to do. And there are plenty of wonderful hospitals in Orange County. I had my children at them. But during the pandemic, I never had to worry that City of Hope would run out of hospital beds or that their emergency rooms were at capacity or that surgeries would be postponed or canceled. I've heard really sad stories from women all over the country, and they're not mine to share, but they're women who really struggled through treatment because of the ramifications of COVID on their hospitals. So going to a cancer hospital was an absolute, was the thing I had to do, absolutely.
And I want to go back just for a second. Were you, as a 38-year-old, were you doing regular self-examinations or no? You don't even think about it at that age.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I was not doing regular self-examinations. And it's something I am now screaming from the rooftops for women to do. I had had a breast exam by my physician in July, and by October, it was nearly a 2-centimeter lump. Women under 40 are developing breast cancer at a really alarming rate. The under 40 age group is why we're seeing this resurgence in breast cancer in recent years. And it's because we aren't being screened regularly. And by the time we find it, it's usually a pretty serious cancer. And cancer doesn't always care about your age, right? It doesn't care how young the kids were or how busy I was. You know, so I needed to take the time to monitor my health. I didn't. So I want people to learn from my mistakes.
And I want to talk about the book for a second. Tell us about it. What's the message for moms out there in your book?
I think, thank you. The message for moms is that, you know, you can have a hard day and still be an awesome mom. You know, I wanted to write the book after having my daughter back in 2014, because at the time, as a 32-year-old, reasonably accomplished woman, I felt really blindsided by the challenges of new motherhood. And it was, at the time, it wasn't a conversation really being had. It felt like my struggles were really singular, because it appeared on social media and conversations that other women were having a way easier time than me. And that was a really defeating feeling. I know better now, but I wanted to write this book so that other women would never have to feel alone, and that they realize that this journey is a challenge and beautiful and amazing and difficult for all of us.
Truly a noble writing, really it is. So right now, if there's a listener right now in their car or at their house hearing this conversation, what are some actions that they can take to help someone who's facing breast cancer? What can they do?
I love this question because I think it really shows that people want to care and they want to do stuff for other people. I think that, you know, it's important not to put additional burden on people going through any type of hardship, cancer included. So instead of asking these people, you know, how are you and what's the update? Tell them, I'm here to talk. I'm here to listen. I'm here to distract you. I love you. I'd love to know more when you're ready. And I understand if that's not for a bit. You know, when I was having my good days, I didn't want to talk about it. And when I was having my hard days, it was too hard to talk about it. You know, go to close family members, friends, partners to get updates. But I also think that, you know, people want to do things for people. They want to show their love. But I would say that instead of asking, you know, asking these people, you know, what can I do to ask or what can I do to help, offer suggestions of how you can help them. Tell them you'd like to bring them a meal and then offer them a few dates. Suggest play dates for their kids. Ask if they need anything from you during your next target run. Ask them to go for a walk or a hike. And lastly, I would avoid sharing your own cancer story. It affects one in three people. So most of us have a story that's close to home. So unless it has like a really happy ending and it's upbeat, I'd avoid sharing it right when they're in the middle of sort of this diagnosis and treatment. People try to relate, and I understand that. I used to do it myself. I would just avoid oversharing.
Okay. Okay. Sound advice. Sound advice. You mentioned you mentioned your husband being in the room earlier when you got the diagnosis or when you got the result of your tests. Tell me, were there moments where he felt helplessness or an inability to help or, you know, reaching out, but it just wasn't connecting? Were there moments like that for him?
Yes, for sure. He would often say to me, "You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine." And that was his way of coping. Right. And my response was always, "You don't know that. You don't know that. You're not a doctor. You're not inside my body." And so we had to kind of work on how we communicated in a way, because him admitting that there was a possibility that it wouldn't be okay wasn't an option. So instead, he would say things to me, and we learned this through communication, actually, through City of Hope. They, prior to going into your meetings, you have to meet with a counselor. It's you know, obligatory. And she taught us that you say things like, "I'm here with you. I will fight this with you. I'm alongside you. I love you. I've got you," instead of offering things that can seem flippant. But yeah, he had moments where he would have a really challenging time, but he didn't very often let me in on it. He was a sound rock through all of it.
Right on. I love hearing that. I want to let our audience know if they want to find a location or make an appointment, they can visit cityofhope.org/OC. Finally, what's next for you? What are your plans? What do you see in the coming months and years?
Well, as I shared a bit earlier, past Saturday was the anniversary of my diagnosis, and I'm very grateful to be here today speaking with you and on the other side of it. And I have quite a few things that I'm working on, but I promised my family that these next 2 months we're going to be spent enjoying the holidays, making memories, having a much less stressful season than we did last year, and that's what I intend to do.
Excellent. At some point, Leslie, I'd love to get you hit in here in the studio in the next coming months or year or whatever. I'd love to have a conversation again and check on you. Can't thank you enough for your candor. Leslie's best-selling parenting book is You Are an Effing Awesome Mom. And I'll tell you right now, you're an effing awesome person. And we are delighted you spent the time with us this morning, Leslie Bruce.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. 8:48 the time. It's The Mornings with Ed Show.